Gospel of John, chapter 12. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He said, verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." John records for us in his gospel the three occasions when the Lord Jesus spoke about that day when he would be lifted up from the earth. Each time he spoke about being lifted up, it was to teach his hearers a valuable lesson regarding his work on the cross. But he said to Nicodemus, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." The Lord Jesus was teaching Nicodemus that salvation and deliverance comes through the cross work of Christ. He had brought this ruler of the Jews to that place called Calvary, to that place where he would be lifted up from the earth. And he was teaching Nicodemus that it is only through the raised Christ, the lifted up Christ, that a soul can find deliverance by putting their faith and trust in the cross work of the Savior. He spoke those words, and they are recorded in John 3:14. And in the very next verse, it is recorded that. So here's the reason for the Lord being lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so we can see what the Lord was teaching Nicodemus, that deliverance comes through the work of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Then on another occasion, the Lord spoke about being lifted up. This time, the words are recorded by John in chapter 8 of his gospel. And verse 28. John chapter 8, verse 28. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Now he spoke to Nicodemus about that day when the Savior would be lifted up, and it was to teach Nicodemus about deliverance. Deliverance that would come through the cross work. What is he teaching on this occasion when once more he refers to that day when he would be lifted up? On this occasion, he's speaking about his deity and his cross work. For the Lord Jesus was wanting his hearers to know and to understand that indeed he was the promised Messiah. He wanted them to know that he was the great I Am. Look at verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am." He is the great I Am. But because the God of this world had blinded their minds, they couldn't see that Jesus Christ indeed is the great I Am. And that is why they said in verse 25, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou?" They still didn't know him. They didn't know that he was the great I Am. They didn't know that he was the Messiah. And so to prove his deity, the Lord Jesus, once more, as he did with Nicodemus regarding deliverance, he now points his hearers to Calvary. And he now says to them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He." But look carefully at the verse. The word "He" is in italics. So the Lord Jesus was saying, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am." You'll know that I am. You will know indeed that I am God. My, what a wonderful message we have here. The lifting up of Jesus Christ speaks to us of deliverance from sin. And the lifting up of Christ speaks to us of His deity. You want to prove the deity of Christ? Point sinners to Calvary. You want to show sinners that there's deliverance from sin? Point sinners to Calvary, where the Lord Jesus was lifted up. Now we come to the third time that the Lord Jesus spoke about being lifted up. Once more, it's recorded by John. And it is found here in our text in John 12 and verse 32. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." The first reference to his being lifted up had to do with deliverance. The second reference to his being lifted up has to do with his deity. Now the third reference to his being lifted up has to do with his death. Look at the very next verse. "This he said, signifying what death he should die." He was teaching his hearers that he would not die by stoning or by being beaten to death, but rather he would die by crucifixion. He was teaching his hearers that he would be put to death not according to Jewish law, but to Roman law. He would be crucified, signifying what death he should die. Because he had already said through the psalmist, as we noted this morning, Psalm 22, verse 16, "They pierced my hands and my feet." The Lord knew that that would be done when he would be lifted up from the earth. That is what we want to consider this evening. We want to consider how the Lord Jesus, in being lifted up from the earth, would draw all men unto Him. And I want this evening to speak on the subject of the drawing power of the cross. The drawing power of the cross. First of all, we have here in our text the requirement. If souls are to be drawn from their sin and drawn to Jesus Christ must be lifted up. That's the requirement. When the Lord Jesus spoke about being lifted up, it was, as we pointed out, to signify what death he should die. But I feel by these words the Lord intended to convey to us another message. A message that runs parallel with the interpretation of these words that are given, signifying what death he should die. Because I feel that in this text we have an exhortation. Do we not have an exhortation? The Lord Jesus, yes, is speaking about his death. But he says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Is not the Lord not only speaking about how he would die, but how we ought to present him to sinful men? Is he not teaching us that if we want to see sinners drawn to Christ, if we want to see souls saved, then we must lift up Christ? And when we lift up the Lord Jesus, what does he say? He says, "I will draw all men unto me." Surely we have here an exhortation. Lift me up, and I will draw all men unto me. This is the message. Regarding this exhortation, let us note the instructor. Who is doing the teaching here? Who is doing the instructing here? None other than the Lord Jesus himself. It is Christ who is saying, "Lift me up, and I will draw all men unto me." I up and down the length and breadth of this land and many another land, churches bring in their motivational speakers. And they'll pack the churches out with hundreds of people. They've come to hear a motivational speaker. And that speaker will stand up and tell the people how to build a church. He'll stand up and tell the people that he has found a new way. Building a church, he's found a new way. Bringing souls to Christ. Oh, away with all motivational speakers. The only teacher we need, the only instructor we need, the only speaker we need is Christ himself. And the Lord Jesus himself is telling us how men are drawn to him. Men are drawn to him when he is lifted up. And these words, the words of this text, come home to me with fresh power over these past few weeks. This is the answer. This is what we must be about. This is what we must do. We must always lift up Christ. The Lord himself exhorts us. He shows us there's no secret formula, no newly discovered method. It's just the old, old story, telling the old, old story. Jesus and his love. It's the old way of preaching at the cross. That's how churches are built. Preaching the cross. Lifting up Christ. And he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That's the answer. Dear child of God, We want to be evangelists. We want to be personal workers. We want to win loved ones for the Savior. We want to win our workmates to the Lord. Here's the answer. Lift up Christ. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. Lift up Christ. Notice not only do we have the instructor, but we have the individual. For the Lord Jesus in these words or in this text said, and I, if I be lifted up. The individual. Here's the one who is to be lifted up, Jesus Christ. The Lord says, I, if I, as though to emphasize it. Though to emphasize it, he says, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Believer, through our conversations with sinners, through our lives, living the Christian life before men, through our preaching, we must lift up Christ. For if we do so, in the factory, or in the office, or in the church, the Lord says, I will draw all men to me. Perfect example of this is given in Acts 2. Turn, please, to Acts 2. There in Acts 2 and verse 22, we have Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. Notice where he focuses, what he focuses on, where he places the emphasis in his message. Acts 2, verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. And where does he begin? Jesus of Nazareth. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. What was Peter doing? He was lifting up Christ. That was his message that day. Nothing else. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And when Peter had finished preaching and had finished lifting up Christ, 3,000 souls were drawn that day to Christ. There's the proof of it. If proof is needed. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 8. And here's another example. God's servants were scattered abroad, and they went everywhere preaching the word. In verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. In verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. What happened? Revival came to Samaria. That's what happened. And it was because of Philip taking to heart the words of the Savior, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And why, when Philip had finished preaching, he drew a whole city to himself. Christ drew a whole city to himself. Never feels. Of course, the Lord sent Philip away to the wilderness of the desert of Gaza, there to speak to an Ethiopian eunuch. And he was told to go near to him, and he ran alongside his chariot. And he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? Verse 30. The eunuch said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. In verse 35 we read, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Once again, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And Philip lifted up Christ. He lifted up Christ in the city, and he lifted up Christ in the chariot. He lifted up Christ before the eyes of a multitude, and he lifted up Christ before the eyes of a man. And each time the result was the same. The city was saved, and the sinner was saved. The Lord said, I, if I be lifted up, concentrate, focus on me. Lift me up, and I will draw all men unto me. The Lord has instilled that more and more in my heart. In recent days, we need to preach more and more of Christ. We could never preach enough of Christ. For he said, I, if I be lifted up, and it's Christ alone. You notice that? It's not Christ and the church. It's not Christ and the preacher. It's Christ alone. I, if I be lifted up, will draw men unto me. But notice again, this lifting up of Christ signified what death he would or should die. And so when the Lord instructs us that we are to lift him up, how are we to lift him up? We are to lift him up as a crucified Christ. It's the crucified Christ we are to lift up. It is only when we preach a crucified Christ that men are drawn to him. We could spend time, and we would delight to do it. We could spend time lifting up the impeccable life of Christ. We could spend hours dealing with the sinless life of Christ. That's not what the Lord instructs us to do. As far as seeing sinners saved, we have to lift up the crucified Christ. Some men lift up the pure and holy character of Christ. And say to their hearers, now there you have a wonderful example. Follow that example. How can men follow that example when they have beating within their breast a sinful, depraved heart? A heart that's like a whited sepulchre full of dead men's bones. No, that heart has to be cleansed first. That heart has to be made right with God first. And the only way that a heart can be made right with God, whenever that heart sees the crucified Christ. For the sinner has to get to the cross first. Must get to the cross first. Attention must be on the cross work, the crucified Christ. We preach Christ crucified. Paul knew what he had to do. Paul knew the message he had to proclaim. Christ crucified. That's what changes lives. That's what makes the drunkard sober. That's what makes the blasphemer change his ways. That's what makes the gambler give up his gambling. It's the preaching and the sight of a crucified Christ. You read the whole chapter, you will find that these words were spoken primarily to the Greeks, those Gentiles that had come up to Jerusalem for the feast. And you remember how they came to Philip, and they came with these words, verse 21, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They wanted to see the Lord Jesus, and Philip went to Andrew, and they brought the Greeks to Christ, and the Lord Jesus then ministered to them. And in the course of his ministry, he said, "I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This was the picture that the Lord wanted them to see. He wanted them to see a crucified Christ. That's what he wanted them. Oh, my friend and dear believer tonight, that's what sinners need to see. Need to see the crucified Son of God. Because that's what changes lives. That's what changes the lives of the Lord's earthly family. They recall that they did not believe in Him. They did not believe in Him. They did not believe on Him. Up until Calvary. But then after Calvary, we find them sitting with the others in the upper room at a prayer meeting with Mary and His brethren. What had happened? What had taken place between the time they did not believe in Him and the time they were found meeting in a prayer meeting? I tell you what happened to the cross. They saw the crucified Christ. Suddenly they believed on Him. There they were, kneeling with the others at the prayer. I tell you, that's the change the crucified Christ can make in the lives of sinners. Oh, all to see. Then you have the importance of this. The Lord Himself places great importance upon the lifting up of Himself. Look at John 3 and 14. We're familiar with the words, but there is one word there that we want to emphasize. John 3, verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." It's a must. If we want to see men drawn to Christ, He must be lifted up. We want to see sinners saved, lifted out of the mire of sin, we must lift up the crucified Christ. We must preach the cross. We must preach His atoning death. It's a must. That's how important it is. Not only do we have here an exhortation, we also have his exaltation. When the Lord Jesus said, "I, if I be lifted up from the earth," he was referring, of course, to his death, but to his exaltation. Because you see the words "lifted up." Those words mean to exalt, to elevate, to set on high. The word is found in Acts 2. For there in Acts 2 and verse 33, "Therefore being as later exalted." Now we read the text, "I, if I be exalted, will draw all men unto me." The cross work of Christ is the exaltation of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was glorified through his death on Calvary. He was glorified. Believer, we cannot glorify and exalt the Lord in any better way than by lifting him up. Lifting him up as the crucified Lord. That exalts him. That glorifies him. That magnifies him. It's the lifting up of Christ. Lifting up of the Christ of Calvary that magnifies his name. And when we magnify him and glorify him and exalt him, he will draw all men unto him. Exalt him when we speak of his cross. So it's an exhortation and an exaltation. Then we have an example. And speaking about his being lifted up from the earth, he gave his hearers an example. John 3, verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." There's an example. The Lord was saying that he would be like that serpent that Moses made and set upon a pole and lifted it up before the congregation of Israel. The Lord was saying, "I'll be lifted up in exactly the same way." It's an example. Just the same as that serpent was nailed to a pole, I will be nailed to a tree. As that serpent was lifted up, so I will be lifted up. Yet at first thought, first glance, at this serpent in the wilderness, the serpent being the Savior of the children of Israel, and that the poison of the fiery serpents running through their veins, you would say that's a strange Savior, a serpent. If it had been a lamb, we would accept it immediately. Obviously, that would speak to us of the Lord Jesus. We can see it plainly. But a serpent? Sure, wasn't the serpent used in the Garden of Eden to cause that great gulf that still exists between man and a holy God? Is a serpent not associated with sin? Of course it is. But the Lord Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And the day the Lord Jesus was lifted up, he was also associated with sin. Not his sin, of course, but yours and mine. And so when we look to the cross, and we look to the one who was nailed to that center tree, and there he hangs, suspended between heaven and earth, and we look at him, what do we see? Not the serpent, but the Savior, who went to that place called Calvary and was lifted up from the earth and bore our sins own body on the tree. The sinless lamb at Calvary, when he was lifted up, was associated with sin. The sins of all of his elect. That's why the Lord said, lift me up before the gaze of sinners and let them see that I am their Savior from sin. We notice also not only the requirement but the reason. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. That incident in the wilderness gives us the reason why the Lord Jesus must be lifted up from the earth. For the children of Israel had been bitten by those fiery serpents, and again it was because of their sin and their disobedience and their murmuring against God. It was God's judgment upon them. And my, when they saw their friends and their family falling down, dead all around them, oh, they ran to Moses and they prayed. They said, Moses, pray for us. God will take away these fiery serpents. Then the Lord revealed to Moses, one, a divine plan. The Lord revealed to Moses the way of deliverance and salvation for the children of Israel. This was God's own plan. This was a plan that had come from heaven. And the Lord told Moses to make a fiery serpent, a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole and stand before the people, and all who would look would live. That was a divine plan. It was only when they looked by faith to the brazen serpent that had been lifted up before their gaze that they would live. Now the Lord says, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He said that because he knew that the cross work was the center, the marrow of the plan of salvation. Oh, that's the Roman guard seized him, led him outside the city walls to that place of a skull. Oh yes, they led him upon that tree, and they pierced his hands and his feet with nails, and they lifted him up. But they didn't know. They didn't know, did they? This was all a plan of God. For sinners to be saved, for you and I to be saved, Jesus Christ had to be lifted up from the earth. That is why the Lord Himself exhorts us to lift Him up. To lift Him up because He's the only way of salvation. Lift me up. I will do the drawing. Lift me up. And I will draw all men unto me. It's a shame, isn't it? It's a crying shame that many preachers today have abandoned this divine plan. They've abandoned this plan. They've thrown it on the scrap heap and they've come up with a plan of their own. They no longer preach Christ crucified. They no longer preach the blood. They no longer preach salvation through Christ alone. They've abandoned. Said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We have here the divine plan. We also have a dying people. After being bitten by the fiery serpents, we read that much people of Israel died. As a result, Moses prayed to the Lord for help. You know something? Wasn't prayer alone that saved Israel from the fiery serpents? Wasn't prayer alone? Wasn't the prayers of Moses alone that saved Israel? It was his prayers. And the Lord revealed then to Moses a divine plan, a plan of salvation. No, it was when they looked to the fiery serpents. Brazen serpent. It was then they were delivered. Places the emphasis once again on Christ. We need to pray for sinners. We need to keep on praying. We need to pray that sinners will get their eyes open and they'll see Christ lifted up from the earth. Because that's what will save. The Lord has said it Himself. He has said it in His own word. I will draw all men unto me. And that's the answer for a dying people in a dying world. It's Jesus Christ, Christ crucified. He must be lifted up by us today. People are dying all around us. No hope for them apart from a crucified Christ. There's no hope. He's the only way. There's no other way. Therefore, we must lift Him up. And then you have the dreadful place. The Lord said that He must be lifted up, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. That's a dreadful place, a wilderness. And there in the wilderness, the Israelites were dying all around Moses. No hospitals, no physicians. Nothing could be done. Moses stood between those Israelites and a grave. Moses, you must lift up that serpent. If you don't lift up the serpent, all of Israel will die. And as Moses ran into the midst of Israel with that brazen serpent upon a pole and cried, "Look and live," he stood between Israel and the grave. He stood between Israel and eternity. And dear child of God, that's where we stand tonight. Between sinners. One thing will save them. There's only one thing that will deliver them. That's the cross work of Christ, and we must lift them up. We must lift them up and say to sinners, "I have a message from the Lord." Hallelujah! A message, oh my friend, for you. 'Tis a message from above. Hallelujah! Jesus said it, and I know it's true. Look and live. My brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His Word. Hallelujah. It is only, only, only that you look and live. But they'll not know where to look. Then you have the response. The Lord, in telling us that He must be lifted up from the earth, said He would draw all men unto Him. We see that this lifting up of Christ is not a hit or miss operation. We don't go out and say, "Oh, I wonder, will this work?" I had a man tell me once regarding tithing. I had a man told me once that whenever he gets to heaven, he's going to tell the Lord, "Tithing doesn't work." He says, "It doesn't work." Well, I don't know what he was talking about, but I think he had been listening to too many televangelists who tell their hearers, "Oh, if you give this money and that money and other money, you'll end up with money for a new house and a big car and all the rest of it." I told this brother, says it's none of your business whether it works or not. Your business is to obey the Lord. And if the Lord tells you to tithe, that's your business. What comes after? Same with the gospel. As we've already said, there are preachers today and they've abandoned this message because they say it doesn't work. Poor fools that they are. The Lord simply tells us, "I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And that's our business. Lord gives the increase. It's our duty and our responsibility to lift Him up. Notice His promise. "I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." There's His promise. He told the children of Israel through Moses that night that He delivered them from Egypt. Told them to take a lamb and kill the lamb and daub the blood and the lintels and the doorposts of their homes. And then He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will." And the Israelites that night just simply took the Lord at His word. And if the Lord said to do that, they did it. And as the Lord said he would pass over them in judgment, they did it and they believed him. Let us believe God. The Lord says, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. It's the promise. I will draw all men. All men. All kinds of men. Hard-hearted men. Stubborn men. Ungodly men. Drunkards, blasphemers, drug addicts. Christ, the crucified Christ, will draw them from their sin. For he has said, I will draw all men unto me. That's his promise. And you have his power. Here in our text, we see the power that is associated with lifting up the crucified Christ. I will draw all men unto me. This shows us that there is an attractiveness about the cross. You say, oh, how can that be? How can there be anything attractive about the cross? I tell you, the night that God saved me and opened my eyes, saw that cross and that hill outside Jerusalem as the most wonderful, beautiful place I'd ever seen in all my life. Because on that cross I saw the substitute for my sin. On that cross I saw the sacrifice for my sin. On that cross I saw for me, who would save me from my sin. That's what made the cross attractive. And that night on the 5th of May 1969, I was drawn to the cross. Believer, we need to lift up the cross. There's power. Then we have the person. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I will draw all men unto me. The message that does not draw men to the person of Christ. Message that is not worth preaching. Tear it up. It's no good. It's the message that draws men to Christ. That's the message. I will draw all men to me. It's true for sinners. True for believers. It's the preaching of Christ and preaching of the cross that draws us to Him. Now, if the Lord said, I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, that means He will draw us unto Him. He will draw us up to Him. He'll lift us out of the mire. He'll lift us out of sin. He'll lift us up out of this world. He'll lift us up to Himself. Isn't that what we want? For our feet to be placed on higher ground. And our feet will make their way to higher ground when we see Jesus high and low. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. May God help us to lift up Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Most loving and gracious Father, eternal and loving God, bless thee again for the Son. Help us to lift him up. Help us, Lord, to fix our hearts on lifting up Christ. Help us, Lord, to tell others about our crucified, living O Lord, we pray that we might indeed in these days see more and more and more souls drawn to Thee. We pray, our gracious Lord, that Thou will help us to lift Thee up. Write Thy word in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to meditate upon it. Loving Father, we pray that Thou would now take us from this meeting house to our homes in safety. Those, Lord, have a little further to go. Thy gracious, loving, nail-pierced hand be upon them. Yea, be upon us all. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever.